This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds.
I have a dream.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have a liftoff.
What's up, Doom Nation? And welcome back. You're listening to the Two Doom Men podcast. As always, it's Skaggs and the Captain, and we got a hell of a show for you today.
Yeah, been about 2 weeks since we've been able to do anything since the midterms. We've been a little bit busy.
Yeah,
Captain life, has. Yeah, go ahead.
Life finds a way, man. We might be partying on Instagram, but life has been busy.
Yeah, this is the busiest time of year, dude. November, the fall. You know, we had weddings, parties, Friendsgivings. Yep. We did get to enjoy some of the Patriot cigars. They were pretty good at these things. And it's been super busy. Now we're just getting to the holidays, which makes it even more busy. So sorry about that we missed about 2 weeks.
Yep. And this will be the last podcast from the Captain's Quarters, because also in all the insanity, I have decided to move. So hopefully next week, as long as the internet provider doesn't give me any bullshit, we won't miss any steps, but next week, hopefully, we should be live from Casa de Captain.
All right, there we go. Yes,
I'll still have the background, though.
There's not really nothing will change. It'll look exactly the same. Yeah. They'll just be in a different location. You can't tell at all.
Hopefully, you know, better internet. I'll have, you know, more screens, a better setup. I'll be able to screen share. We'll be expanding the operation.
Yeah, good way to put it. So let's start. We're going to have some fun tonight. We'll talk about some topics. We'll talk maybe, you know, post-mortem on the midterms and some other things. But I kind of want to start with whatever it is the captain sent me before we started this. This is a video.
This sorry had me cracking up. It's a little funny video.
Yeah, sorry to those who are listening. You might want to watch this part. But let's see. The captain sent me this, and he was having a good laugh.
Go, go! Oh, oh!
Some of these parents get ruthless. Oh my god. Good shit on.
And the women got some moves, I'll give them that.
Yeah. You know what it is? Some of these moms are just so angry with their little shit kids.
Yeah, they're taking out years of fucking on them. I want to see someone just get their clock on.
Good night.
I see a white lady in there as well. Got some moves. All right.
This team must be like 0-14 because their parents are juking them left and right, stiff arming them, laying them out. Where's the defense?
It's a good method to get some practice, you know. Put little kids up against big people who could level them and whatnot. See how they do. I was expecting one of the kids to get launched.
The first few really get knocked. That's about it.
That's pretty funny. That was some wholesome, I've been having wholesome a good start laugh at that. To the Two Doom Men podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's Skaggs, and I'm here to tell you about a new partner of ours, the Patriot Cigar Company. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to casually enjoy a good cigar with a nice glass of bourbon, especially during the fall months. The Patriot Cigar Company just launched their first 5 cigars, including the Hellfire, TNT, Mark 48, and Moab. Each cigar is handmade with premium tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years in Nicaragua. The best part about it is that you can go to mypatriotcigars.com and use our promo code, DOOMED, for 15% off your purchase. So if you're ready to sit back and enjoy a nice cigar around the campfire, head on over to their website and see what they have to offer using the link in our episode description below.
So let's maybe start kind of where we left off the last episode and do a little bit of a post-mortem on the midterms.
Yes.
We did have guests on the fundamental opposites last episode, so I kind of forgot to bring up a point or thing that happened that was sent to me by Lance from the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus of Connecticut, Liberty Guy Lance. You should give him a follow on Twitter. If you're wondering about if elections are rigged or not, I'm not going to say that they are or they aren't. I'm going to tell you a little story that was shared to me by Lance. Now, if you remember months ago, we went to the Libertarian Party convention of Connecticut, and they were running candidates, or they were planning to run candidates for Connecticut, for governor, and for other positions. Captain, you spoke with Dr. Aaron Lewis, if you remember.
Yes. Awesome guy.
Yeah, nice gentleman. He was the Libertarian Party candidate for governor of Connecticut. Kevin Allen was going to be lieutenant governor. He's actually a member of the Patriot Podcast Network. So what happened? If you actually went to go vote in Connecticut during the midterms, the Libertarian Party was on the ballot, but no person was in the boxes for the candidate. So like it said Libertarian Party, and then there was just nothing in all the positions. So what exactly happened? Let me read to you what Lance told me. He said, so third parties require signatures, which is stupid anyway, and just a measure to force minority parties into wasting money and resources. Dr. Lewis, he needed 7,500. He got around 11,000, definitely pretty far above the required amount. They got back to us like 5 weeks before election day saying that he won't be allowed on because they don't have the staffing to review signatures because of fucking COVID. Important detail. When COVID was actually a thing, not that lockdowns and bullshit were ever called for, the two major parties were granted all sorts of electoral leniency by shifting voting rules and et cetera. If any state level race for a third party receives 1%, they don't need to raise the money or to get the signatures for the next election. That's something we talked about before, like ballot access. You maintain ballot access. They just maintain access. Lewis was definitely going to get 1% in Connecticut. So now that screws them for 2024 as well, because the fact that there was no candidate, Libertarian right. candidate on the ballot, they didn't obviously get the 1%. That means that they need to do this whole petition, get signatures all over again in 2024 to get a candidate on the ballot. And the state of Connecticut used COVID as an excuse as to why they couldn't verify the signature. So when it comes to putting a third party candidate on the ballot, they want signature verification for that. They want identification. Yeah. They want to make sure the election is secure when it comes to something like that. But when it comes to just a normal person voting, you don't need anything.
Yep.
That's completely fine. And essentially, it's bullshit. You know, in a sense, that is rigging the process against the third party. They got what they needed to get. They got the signatures. But because of COVID, there wasn't enough people working in the office. Sorry, you're shit out of luck. Doesn't even matter. I mean, what does that sound like to you? What do you think about that?
Yeah, they hamstringed them from the get-go. They never gave them their opportunity. And, it's this late after COVID, you know, especially is a bullshit reasoning. What really is stopping, you know, what is COVID really stopping right now? And that was early November, so November 8th or so. Yeah,
5 weeks
before. You know what I'm saying?
Too.
Yeah.
5 weeks before the election, too. So now you've done all that work and there's nothing, you know, for nothing.
I mean, essentially, done all that work. We're filling Madison Square Garden every single night, but we can't fill this office
right.
to count 11,000, you know, signatures.
Petition signatures to put another candidate. The defend our democracy people.
You know, yeah.
They can't. Yeah. They can't operate democracy.
That is a threat to our democracy.
Yeah. And that's just Connecticut. In New York State, you know, we did have Larry Sharp. Who was running for governor. The Republican Party of New York State essentially sued. I don't know the full details, but they sued the Libertarian Party, essentially kicking them off the ballot for some sort of technicality. So Larry was ready to go. He was, you know, doing the shows, running a pretty good campaign, raising the money. He talked all about that with us. And he wasn't on the ballot because the Republicans sued to keep him off the ballot. So there you have it. I mean, you could say that it's rigged or whatever. I don't know. It's just the whole system is fucking shit.
We probably could get away with saying the election's rigged right now because we're talking about the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
But if we start talking about how, YouTube's not really going to give a shit. But if we start talking about Arizona, I'm sure this episode will get kicked off right away.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about Arizona too.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, now that we're 2 weeks out and the dust has kind of settled. although it hasn't settled at the same time.
They're not settled, correct? There is no...
Well, apparently, Katie Hobbs is apparently won her. She's at least been declared. There was an ant crawling on my laptop here. Just kidding.
Nice.
So she apparently hasn't been declared the winner. I don't think that Carrie Lake has conceded.
No, she hasn't. I know she hasn't.
And I think she's trying to sue, bring about lawsuits. You know,
I thought there was some recount going on or something.
I don't know about a recount. I know there's definitely lawsuits, and I would think maybe there could be a recount. It was very close. If you didn't forget, there was a interesting scenario that occurred in Maricopa County again with the ballot machines not working there. It was a razor thin margin for Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs to begin with. It's suspicious. It really it is. I'm not saying it even is rigged. Don't know. I think maybe rigged is not the right word, perhaps. You know, maybe we'll talk about the process, how it works.
It's a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
How does Florida count millions of votes in one night? How does Elon Musk tabulate, 15 million votes to allow Trump back onto Twitter in whatever 24-hour, 48-hour time period he took to tabulate those votes? But an entire state with only a few hundred thousand people, are we talking about the county or the state?
Maricopa County.
It's only
Phoenix. It's like the most populated area
in Arizona. It's only a few hundred thousand votes, and it took over a week and a half. And I would really like to, I'm sure we could find one, see like a graph of all the elections that were decided after the 8th. What was the percentage of Democrat victories like a week later compared to Republican victories? Yeah, how many Democrats pulled ahead in the middle of the night? How many Republicans pulled ahead in the middle of the night?
Or perhaps just how many of those are inextricably linked to just, you know, mail-in voting, that whole, or like have like a really, you know, robust system of mail-in voting. And, you know, I think I've learned that it's not necessarily, again, that it's rigged. It's that they've changed the way it works. We kind of talked about this off the podcast, and my synopsis or whatever of the whole thing is that it's the game Paperboy in reverse. You collect the mail better and you win. In Paperboy, you give the mail out better and you win. So there is a, like, it's in the system, the structure, that it's just going to benefit the Democrats. We were talking about this with our buddy, where cities are more left. They lean more towards Democrats, and you could go to the Bronx and you might have a huge building in Co-op City that 1,000 people live in. All 1,000 of those people are going to get mailed a ballot because of the change in the rules and the law in New York City, New York State. And most of them are probably going to vote for a Democrat. You could get a mule or whoever or whatever, or even just those people mail it in, or you could send someone there to collect it, and they could collect, you know, most of those ballots in a couple hours' work, because you go to the one building and you could collect a whole bunch of ballots.
900 ballots.
If a Republican wants to do that, let's say in rural Idaho, they're going to have to drive all day long for hours, one house at a time, just because of the breakdown of demographics in the country. Conservatives live more in the country. Liberals live more in the city. And there's gasoline costs. There's time costs. There's just less people also, per square mile or whatever. So that favors. And with that, Doom Nation, we'll be right back after a few messages.
What's up, everyone? It's the Two Doom Men, and we're here to tell you about a partner of ours, the Patriot Cigar Company.
The Patriot Cigar Company's story started with the idea of incorporating the love of cigars with the love for freedom and America. There is no better way to celebrate our love for our country and freedoms we cherish than smoking a premium cigar. After months of trying out different blends and working with master blenders, they created the Hellfire, TNT, Sidewinder, Moab, and Mark 48, which we have right here. Each cigar is made with premium tobacco, aged a minimum of 3 years in Nicaragua.
You know, this is a true story. I had really fallen off smoking cigars for a while, and I just couldn't find anything that I enjoyed or wanted to sit through until I was introduced to the Patriot Cigar Company, and these are honestly some of the best cigars I've smoked in a long time.
And the best part about it is you could go to mypatriotcigars.com and use our promo code DOOMED to get 15% off your order.
So if you're ready to enjoy a nice cigar, head on over to their website by using the link in our episode description below.
Democrats, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's not that it's rigged. It's just that they've changed the rules in a sense to just benefit them, to make it easier for them to win, essentially. One interesting thing I did think about the midterms in general, however, is that it turns out that I think 5 million more Republicans voted in the midterms.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe 5 million more people voted for Republicans than they did for Democrats. And they did take back a majority in the House at the end of the day. But it's yes. not the it wasn't the blowout.
No, course, there was
everybody thought it was going to be.
There was no red wave, but we did take back the House. So, you know, and, you know, tricky shyster media doesn't, you know, they don't really talk about that. The only way the media would have accepted a red wave is if every single, you know, every single Senate race, every single House race, every single governor race went to the Republicans. If Kathy Hochul was the only one to win, they wouldn't have declared it a red wave. But so something that I noticed was Florida banned mass mail-in ballots, banned ballot harvesting, requires voter ID, and Governor DeSantis created an election police force, right? I think, and so I don't know much about the police force. That part I'm not really too in favor of. But the rest of it, I'm not completely against. And I think any new Republican governor or existing Republican governor needs to look into changing their state election laws to something similar to this, because Florida had a flawless, you know, counting system for their votes. So, you know, coming into the 2024 election, at least if we have a dozen red states that are set up like this, we know who's going to be the winner of these states that night. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get as many people to be as organized as possible for 2024, because I still think, like what we spoke about in the last episode, this is the new PSYOP. This is the new normal. People are going to believe in the future, in the near future. This is
the way it always has been done.
Yes, because the older generations, just as every older generation before, are dying off. And soon, with a major election every 4 years, these people who were 14 when Trump won, by the time they're 34, by the time they're 38, it's going to be completely normal for an election to be decided a week after, 2 weeks after. We can't have that process. I get it. They changed the way with the mail-in ballots, but we can't allow it to become this two-week free-for-all. It's unorganized. We are, quote-unquote, the most powerful country in the world. Brazil is knocking out their election in one night.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, I think we kind of talked about this last episode, but like, if you're trying to sell me on that the election is legitimate, like you have to actually put some effort into making sure it appears to be legitimate.
Yes.
At least, you know, me as an anarcho-capitalist, I don't necessarily like democracy in general. I think I've come to learn it's a very flawed system. It's not great. So it's not me that you really have to sell. It's the other people that you have to sell that still believe in the system. And by embracing a system that takes a week to find out, you know, who won and like machines don't work. And like I said, in the last episode, I think when you fill out your ballot, like your name ain't on it or anything like that. It's just a piece of paper. It's a anonymous, untraceable piece of paper. And you put it in that machine and then it gets counted. But if you don't put it in that machine, how do you know like what happened to it or where it went or anything? You have no fucking idea. It's just like up to blind faith, essentially. So, I mean, like, how could you inspire courage in a system when you're leaving the possibility up to blind faith, essentially? It really almost kind of sounds like a religion, like these people believe in, you know, democracy as a religion. It's essentially,
it's literally just become, it's the simplest version of the blue team versus the red team. Whatever the captain of the blue team says is what the blue team wants. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, they'll believe anything. Just, you know, and the funny thing that I wanted to bring up too, now that the midterms is over, there was a lot of talk about right-wing extremist violence if these elections don't go their way. Where is all this violence? Where was it? It's another thing the media got wrong. And when we get into talking about Trump, I have another similar point to make with, you know, you spent 5 years calling all his followers these violent extremist Nazis, and none of that really took place during his presidency. You could argue all you want with January 6th. Fine, I'll have to give it to you. But like, is the media really all over again going to just start like calling his followers Nazis? Stuff like, you know, like it's already been proven for 5 years that they're not. But are we going to double down on it? You know,
probably.
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, when you've spent years now conditioning people to change their profile picture and believe anything you say, like, you know, 1984. Yeah. You could start calling everybody Nazis and people will believe it again.
Yeah.
You know, I think so.
You just can't call the Nazis in Ukraine Nazis.
I think that was one of my lessons from the midterms, is that people were not as red pilled as I thought they were in general. No. I thought for sure. I mean, it's just so weird.
So I think
the same time more people did vote for Republicans.
Yeah.
Right.
So I want you to understand something, and for the listeners to get something. I don't know where every listener is sitting listening to this right now, but for me and you as the host of the show, our view is very skewed. We live in the tri-state area. This is a major coastal elite spot. You know, when you hear, oh, is the MAGA following dying? There was no energy in Trump's speech. There was no red wave, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, in New York, I don't think so anymore. I don't think MAGA has the huge power it did. But I also think if New York had another boat parade or a Trump parade, we could have miles of people show up. I know the support's there. But living in this tri-state area, this coastal elite area, it's very easy to say, like, yeah, that part is dead. But I have such a strong feeling that, like, the more you go into these rural states, the further you go south and east in the Bible Belt and all that, I think it's alive and well and stronger than ever. And like you said, 5 million more Republicans voted this time. The thing is, we're not seeing those 5 million in New York. But I bet you throughout like Nebraska and South Dakota and North Dakota, all these other middle America states, that's where you started seeing them.
I think yeah. Rosamund, at this point last time, it's more concentrated. People have moved.
Yep.
Right. People.
Yes.
Vote with their feet, and they've become hyper concentrated in Florida and, you know, yes, other places like that. So, yeah, unfortunately, and, although, you know, I did share with the Patriot Podcast group an electoral map of New York State. And like New York State, in a sense, I think was very red and did turn out like record flips.
Yeah.
Not flips, but like Lee Zeldin, he attracted a lot, like a shift in how many people voted for Republicans in New York State. And if you actually look at the electoral map, like I was just referencing, it really is. All of New York State voted for Republicans, except for the major cities, Albany, New York City, Buffalo, Syracuse.
Yeah.
Those are, and we have made the point before, it's people who vote, not land that votes. But in this instance, more people in New York, like the trend shifted towards more people coming out to vote for the Republican. They still weren't able
to
overcome the Democrat candidate, but more people did come out in general. I think that's a little bit too on some conservatives kind of sat out. I don't know. Did we talk about AOC in the last episode? It's been 2 weeks. I don't even remember. But even in AOC's district, like, you know, I think 70 something thousand people voted for AOC, and like 30,000 people voted for Tina Forte. Yet there's, I think, 100 and something thousand registered Republicans in that district in Bronx and Queens. If everybody fucking voted, she would have won. AOC would have lost. I mean, and even just in general, that area of the Bronx and Queens, there's at least like 2 million people live there.
Yeah.
We're talking about like 120,000 people voted. That's so low. Like that place is so demoralized on both sides. No one goes to vote, I guess.
Yeah. I also believe people are poorly educated. And also there is a big group of people that are wildly demoralized.
Yeah.
I really believe that just the majority of people in New York, whether they live busy lives or whether they just don't care or not, truly believe like, oh, Hochul is doing a good job. I got robbed last week on the subway, but there's no way that Lee Zeldin guy could help me. And it's just this lack of education where they just see the headline of CNN or the Wall Street Journal, whatever, and they just take that, and that's their truth. There's, I really feel there's a lot less people out there thinking critically and doing any type of research.
This is why I don't like the idea of democracy anymore. You've there's a lot of low information voters, and they're catering to the low information voter, right? And the system then, essentially, you're able to, the low information voter is able to elect the king, who then rules over you and restricts your rights and tramples on your freedoms and your liberties and things like that. That's kind of like the libertarian thinking behind not liking democracy, in a sense. It's like voting for the king, right? And it's like a tyranny of the majority at best, and it's at worst tyranny of the minority, where you might have the electoral college system where less people voted for the person and they win and they get to rule over you. So just like the system is flawed.
There's a lot of manipulation at you know, even if you don't want to say it's rigged, it's definitely manipulated.
Yeah, or just look to the Trump people. I don't know if Trump is going to go out there in his new campaign and talk much about things being rigged, but fucking forget about that. Stop whining about it being rigged, and you either change the system the way the Democrats did by changing it back to the way it used to be, or you have to play the game. You have to invest in, you know, going into the Bronx and going into Queens and targeting those areas better. And then you have to invest in fucking ballot harvesting. And that's it. That is what it is. I don't want to hear whining and complaining by Trump or MAGA people, whatever. Either do something or you're going to fucking lose. And that's what it is, essentially, in 2024. That's it. Trump's running for president, by the way. He did announce.
So let's talk a little bit about that. I have a few things. This has been a bothersome few weeks for me personally. I guess I stupidly wasn't prepared for the media's onslaught immediately of Trump.
Bothersome by a kind of a return to that.
You know. I'm a little excited that like politics will get interesting again, you know, because now they have the mean orange man back. It just nobody's learned anything. Nobody's learned anything about Trump. And it blows my goddamn mind, like, because people were genuinely shocked that Trump was running for president again. What fucking world do you live in? I get it. A lot of shit libs deny objective reality. But like, what, even in your made up playland of a mind, when did you think that this was just all over? It was all Trump's not going to run again.
It's almost like, I know what you're saying. A lot of people put themselves out there like they were shocked. It's almost like, is this person for real? Like, yes. are they just like making that up to sound shocked? Because like they are like fueled off of outrage. I mean, and even when it comes to Trump, I thought the big announcement, like the whole thing around it was so cringe and pathetic. It's like, what's he gonna announce? I don't know.
Willikers. What could he possibly be saying?
Like everyone fucking knew. It's like we knew, he knew that we knew, and we know that he knew that we knew, but they still pretended anyway, like we didn't know.
Thank you. You know, like there was a couple of good theories out there, what the big announcement could be, and maybe Speaker of the House, some Q shit.
Imagine comes out, I have AIDS.
Yeah, like, but I mean, like,
that would have been turned by full loop.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, like to be shocked that this man, who doesn't take losing kindly, was going to run again.
Wasn't
mind blowing.
Wasn't
going to run again is mind blowing. And another thing I want to say is, and I've been wanting to get this out there since we missed last week's episode. This whole thing, Trump versus DeSantis, we really need to put it behind us. Yes, Trump took shots at DeSantis, But once again, nobody learns who Trump is. Trump is going to take shots at anyone. Trump could be playing golf with his fucking wife, and he will take shots at her if she's too over literally par on him.
They'll start hitting fucking golf balls at her.
Yeah. All right. So it does not matter who or what it is. If Trump feels the least bit threatened or has any inkling of competition, he will take shots at that person. DeSantis does not care. He has said it multiple times. The two of them have both said multiple times they don't have any animosity towards each other. For the Republicans listening to this show, stop the Trump versus DeSantis stuff. Take a step back and be thankful that at least for your party that you chose, we have two powerhouse leaders. If Trump can't do it, DeSantis can. If Trump does it, and when he's done, DeSantis can step in. Their name two powerhouse leaders on the Democratic side that can actually be bring about change or get us somewhat back to normal. There isn't many. Maybe if you are one of these people who is shocked that Trump is running again, you'll say like AOC is the future of the party. But, you know, you live in crazy town, so it doesn't matter. But as if you're a Republican listening, be thankful that we have a backup plan in DeSantis that might plan B might actually be better than plan A at this point. And either way, in the seat you're sitting in, I know not you particularly, Skaggs, you're sitting pretty good. You got a really good backup plan if plan A doesn't work.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch that whole thing play out. And I do think you're right. I think people forgot Trump is an egomaniac.
Yes.
You know? And why do you think Trump is taking shots at Ron DeSantis? Because Ron DeSantis' star is rising, and Donald Trump does not want to be outshined by anyone, you know, so he's going to make sure he, you know, whoa, hold on, buddy. You know, I'm still the top dog around here. You wait your turn.
Yeah, the king ding-a-ling.
Right, exactly. That's essentially what it is. I don't like it either, just because I think we're fucking facing the most insane, tyrannical government and movement and psyop in the history of the fucking world, and I don't think we have time to, you know, bicker amongst ourselves stupidly
over two powerhouse leaders.
Yeah, I think that's dumb and a waste of time, and that probably only damages the cause. But this is why I'm not a Republican. This is why I'm a libertarian, because they fucking suck and they can't get their, you know, their candidates all suck. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. It is going to be interesting to see it play out. I really do think it is. You know, Trump is unbanned from Twitter now. Elon Musk has been busy the past couple weeks. You know, we were skeptical of Elon, and I did take a wait and see approach, but he's done pretty decently so far. Mm-hmm. He's proposed Freedom Fridays. I don't know if you've seen this.
No.
Freedom Fridays is funny because that's what Alan and James do, Freedom Fridays. But Freedom Fridays is essentially like, on Fridays, I'm going to unban a whole bunch of people that were banned, and it's be Freedom Friday. And he has unbanned Trump. He's unbanned some other notable.
He's unbanned
accounts.
Kanye West. He's unbanned Project Veritas. And somebody, I don't know if it's a tweet of the week of mine or not, or if I saw it somewhere else, somebody tweeted out, I was like, it's funny that only Republican pages and conservative pages are being unbanned. Isn't it strange that there's no big announcement that some Democrat, if we had freedom of speech before, freedom of speech means equality in speech for everyone, but for some reason, before Elon Musk, there was no Democrats were able to just say as they wanted because they were, aka, towing the line.
And with that, Doom Nation, we'll be right back after a few messages. What's up, Doom Nation? It is Skaggs here, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Two Doom Men podcast. If you like political discussion, guns, beer, movie, and TV reviews, smash that like button, subscribe to our channel, and share the show with your friends. That's the best way we can get around Big Tech's algorithm. You can also just go to linktree.com/twodoommen to find everywhere the show has a presence. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Skaggs89. Thank you, everyone, and let's get back to the show. Yeah, I think I know what you're kind of alluding to. I think this was Dinesh D'Souza tweeted something along.
It was a very good tweet.
And Elon actually, I think, even responded. Let's see if I could find it real quick. I think Elon even responded to it and said, correct. Interesting, though, just in general.
So once I get another screen and I'll be able to start screen sharing with you guys, I've been working hard on the To Do Men Twitter account, trying to change the algorithm, because the things I see are just downright pathetic. But I've been enjoying Elon Musk, man. When he unbanned Trump and he started sending all the memes of the priest avoiding the prostitutes and stuff, it's very interesting. And I'm not going to dive back into Q, but there was always, you know, the tweet of my fellow Americans, the storm is upon us. And that was supposed to be all hell breaking loose. Does give me a little hope that, like, I really think Trump is going to come back to Twitter. I know he says he's not. But I think, like, just out of the blue one day, he's going to come back and be like, payback time, motherfuckers, and just go ballistic. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, to be clear, he has said that he is not.
Right.
He doesn't have some sort of exclusivity deal with Truth Social. I don't know the complete details. I've heard that he can theoretically go elsewhere to post, but there needs to be a 6-hour window between that, like, Truth Social has to get the tweet, 6 hours exclusivity. If you look too at what Trump has been writing on True Social, like, that old Trump is, like, gone on social media. He, like, maybe it has to do with the fact that True Social is an echo chamber and he can't, like, argue with someone on the other side necessarily directly. But he hasn't been as entertaining as he used to be. Perhaps he's perhaps whatever.
Yeah.
Real quick, I did find the tweet that you were referencing. It is by Dinesh D'Souza, and he said, "We don't hear much about Democrats and leftists being let back on Twitter. Why? Because they were never kicked off in the first place. Their lies and misinformation simply escaped all scrutiny. Censorship has been deployed as a one-way operation against conservatives." At Elon Musk. Elon Musk actually replied and did say correct.
Yeah. Very interesting. You know, for the people who don't believe any conspiracies, for the people who think the government is batting 1,000 and just telling us the truth on everything. Very, very telling to see, you know, how censorship worked for the past 2-3 years. But another thing about Trump, I don't know. He's just getting things started. Truth Social definitely is an echo chamber, so anything he says is really going to be greatly agreed upon and, favored by everybody on the app. They were saying how his speech was low energy and stuff. I do think, but it's still so early on to know, we're going to see a different Trump this campaign cycle.
I think the low energy speech was on purpose. Right.
Yes.
You know, he's Trump. Right. But there is his team advising him, and they're probably like, you know, maybe we should put on a different approach or a different vibe this time around. Let's not sell you as the crazy lunatic who's going to, you know, let's maybe try and sell you as a little bit more calm, a little bit more measured.
Yes.
The way you give your delivery and stuff like that. That could be what's going on.
And that was the point I was getting at. I completely believe that might be the move. Because it takes away some of the power of the media, because when Trump comes out and starts calling everybody losers and piece of shit, there's your headline and nobody's going to read past the headline. So it's just Orange Man's bad, calls nice little Democrat a piece of shit. And that's as far as people read. But if he doesn't do that, you kind of have to listen to what he says now. You know what I mean? And that we always talked about that rash personality. Yeah, is a turnoff. Alex Jones was right about how much stuff, but because of his psychopath personality, people dismissed him. Trump got the short end of the stick. He was usually the innocent one, but because of his personality, the media was able to run with it. I think it's definitely a tactic to change things up.
Yeah. Can you put the toothpaste back in the tube, though, at this point?
No.
Right. I don't know. People don't like Trump. People have Trump derangement syndrome. If Trump is going to try to act like Ron DeSantis, you then perhaps would probably be better off just running Ron DeSantis, who the derangement. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, for me,
selfishly, I want Trump to go back to being Trump. I enjoyed that Trump. I thought he wasn't a great president. I have my criticisms of him as at the same time, but he was entertaining.
It was fun.
At least I don't want like a milquetoast Trump now.
Yeah.
The second time around. Where the fuck is the fun in that?
It
come back
fun,
to Twitter,
yeah.
Jump in the fucking fray and be on our side in the fight against all this shit going yeah. on. At least I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the Twitter meltdown. You had a great tweet, if you would like to recant
it. I wrote that at 6:30 in the morning up in a tree on Saturday morning while I was hunting. I was waiting for the sun to come up.
I mean, it was very well put. This meltdown, even just that's like, this is why he's so attacked, because he literally is a nuclear weapon against the quote unquote establishment. Everything the establishment stands for, Trump can tear that shit down. He's the closest one to do it in a very long time. Whether you want to believe conspiracies or not, he does not flow the same way the rest of Congress and the World Economic Forum does. He is he's the immovable object standing up against the unstoppable force. And it is telling to show how people had these meltdowns just because his Twitter is reactivated. He's not saying anything. He said he's not coming back. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And people are in closets crying.
Or like, what's his name? Professor Godsod says, like, yeah, they're under the desk crying and like shaking. I guess I'll share my tweet. This is going to be a Twitter heavy episode, I guess. So I said, yeah, the shit lib meltdown over Trump's Twitter is priceless yet revealing. For what it's worth, Trump has said he is not coming back as he has Truth Social. So his Twitter might be unbanned, but it's defunct, making it a moot point. They're mad that they're losing control of censorship. Yeah, that is what they're mad. They're losing control of the machine. They're losing control of the ideological forge. They're, you know, with again, and we're still skeptical of Elon Musk. Don't get me wrong here. You know,
guy has Neuralink. He wants to put computer chips in your brain.
But if you thought Twitter was some useless thing that has no value, no, it does. It does, because if it didn't, everyone would be having a meltdown that they've lost control. Like, their hand was on the wheel. Now their hand's not on the wheel no more. They don't know what's going to happen. Oh my God. Or like, better good ideas like authentically going to win out now, and the bots are going to be gone, and like all these shit fucking woke socialist Marxist ideas that are not popular, definitely, but they're, you know, they're like artificially boosted to make it seem like they're popular, and then that gets disseminated to people like, oh look, AOC, I'm so popular, my Marxist socialist ideas are so popular. But is that really real, or is it just you know, amplification by bots or something? Who
they are?
I don't think so. My leaning is that they're not. And now that whole fucking monopoly on this thing, it's coming to an end. So they're freaking the fuck out.
They're losing control, and they are worried, as we once said. You know, it just, you know, think of how differently COVID would have been if we were allowed to question where it came from. If we were allowed to question the use of ivermectin, you know,
openly,
if we were
right.
allowed to listen to doctors that opposed the vaccine, that opposed the lockdowns, think of how different.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, how different it would be if you had more than one perspective.
Right. How different would it have been had Dr. Robert Malone been allowed to keep his Twitter account? Right.
Did he get unbanned?
Not he's I. Pretty sure this Friday. I think he teased somewhere that this Friday is the Doctor Friday for Freedom Fridays. All the doctors are coming back.
Nice.
You know, Dr. Robert Malone, he is controversial, I guess. He's one of the guys who was one of the, you know, people involved in the invention of the mRNA vaccine. He was banned like, bam, like that. Like, as soon as he started, like, as soon as the vaccine came out and he started kind of like, this was very quick. Like, as soon as he just started kind of talking about it or being a critical voice about it, bam, he was banned right off of Twitter right away. And then he had an appearance, I think, on Timcast and it was like
and Joe Rogan
where people were kind of like, you know, got to hear what he had to say. Yeah, like, that's a fucking doctor. right, who had an opposing view at the time, and he was silenced. Dr. Peter McCullough, right, about was one of the chief guys about ivermectin, also banned. Yeah. So,
and it's insane to think.
Real quick, I just want to make the point that they want, you know, like these crazy leftists that are crying about it. They want to make it out to like he's going to support Nazis and people talking about hate speech and these far right people. They're crazy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're talking about like political discourse and contrary scientific discussions. I don't think like I'm not it's not high on my list of priorities that Nazis get to speak freely on Twitter or people get to say the N-word. It's not what I'm interested in. And that's majority of what most people are not interested in that. What they are talking and, you know, there's an argument to be made about freedom of speech. And, you know, I'd like my Nazis where I could see them. I'd like my racist people where I could see them so that you could then. But I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah,
I'm concerned about the Malones and the Trumps. And like I wanted political discourse it to be fair.
Yep.
So.
Yep. It's just it's been, oh, God, it has just been so pathetic on my end of Twitter, man.
Yeah, just you got to fix your grifting. I did the chirpy. I think of the chirpy or whatever for you. There's a if you guys want to check it out, if you're using Twitter, there's like a website, I think, called Chirpd. And you put your handle in there and it will show you a graph of like the accounts that you most interact with. And so I did it for you. And it actually is pretty balanced. I thought you have a good balance of assholes and good people that you interact with. But I don't know necessarily if that's showing you what the algorithm is really like. Because like I see you have me, like your inner circles, like me, Cenk, Joe Biden, the New York Post, and someone else.
Tim Pool.
And Tim Pool. Yeah. It's a pretty interesting.
Joe Cooper or something.
Yeah. That's an interesting.
He's a real grifting shit lip crybaby.
Yeah, I think anybody should always just be aware, like on any of these social media sites, Twitter, although I would think now that the algorithm is going to change with them working on everything. They are working on changing things. That's the way these social media platforms operate, via algorithm. What you put in is what you get out. If you're like the captain and you're putting in time to search for tweets of the week that are really shitty or like make people look really bad, then you're going to get out nothing but trash that you're not going to like.
And I also I shoot back at all the grifters, you know,
and that's okay.
Simple question. Yes or no. Is Donald Trump the worst president ever? No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not saying not to do that. I do that all the time, too. I'm combative with people because I think we should be combative with assholes. Right. And try and expose them. But at the same time, I make sure I also share things that are good and I like. Yeah. Wholesome.
What I started doing I went on your page and I followed a bunch of people that I wasn't following. I went on Tim Pool's page, followed a bunch of people that he follows that I wasn't following, or like just going through like Tim Pool's page. And like when I had this guest on, I follow them,
That's a good idea.
You
know, and for just normal people in general, like you should follow like news sources and people who are going to like talk about things that are happening, so you could get a different, like a Glenn Greenwald or a New York Post, which you do follow. You know, they post shitty things sometimes too, but where do you consume your news so that we could then talk about stuff? You should get it from direct from the sources on Twitter. Forget about going to CNN and watching fucking news. That's bullshit, obviously. You go and you get it from the source. You go and get it from trusted sources and whatnot.
I got to point out something, and you know, because like when I talk to politics about my father, with like my father, he loves Fox 5, Fox News, because they simply just say the things that he wants to hear.
Yeah,
I have to constantly remind him, like, just because they do that doesn't mean they can't be trusted. And I showed him two fucking prime examples.
Just because they do that, they should be trusted, you mean?
No, that they shouldn't be trusted.
Okay.
We shouldn't trust any legacy mainstream news outlet, period.
Yeah.
And he likes Fox because they simply say the things he likes to hear. And I finally proved it to him. I said, on election night, once again, this happened in the presidential election, CNN's website and Google had a much better representation of the election outcomes than Fox's website did. I think Fox had an atrocious setup for showing who's winning during the election. And then on top of it, if you watch Trump's speech, what was it, a week ago, I guess? Yeah, a week ago now. He was talking, and all of a sudden, Fox cuts it, and they go, "We're going to go to correspondence now and get their comments on it."
I saw that.
I want to hear the rest of this. Are you out of your fucking mind? You know, and I showed him. Yes, they cut off the whole end of his speech. And I said to him, if they're all for him, why are we bringing up frickin' frack over here to hear their goddamn comments while this man is still talking? No?
Yeah, that is weird. Perhaps they knew they had a lot of people tuned in, so they want to shift it to their own personalities.
So
to try and get, you know, try and like win people over, maybe.
So apparently, you know, like obviously CNN Plus plummeted. That was a big failure.
Within a week.
CNN, you know, I don't know if their numbers have sunk any lower, but for a while there, Joe Rogan's episodes were getting 11 million views compared to CNN's like 2 million views.
Joe Rogan is
shit.
Getting more views on one episode than all of the, you know, corporate press news stations put
together.
Yeah.
Something like 15 million people tuned in for that speech. Fox got huge numbers for that.
Yeah.
And going into this next campaign cycle, the one thing I am going to harp on is you cannot fake support. Whoever the next Democratic, if you truly want me to believe that the Democrats have a following, I want to see boat parades. I want to see I want to see arenas filled to the fucking brim. You all got your vaccine. Go have Joe Biden sell out fucking Madison Square Garden. Please.
Go have.
Please.
Yeah. You see, I don't think that matters. You could have your fucking party. You could have your big.
True. True. Because the mail-in ballot harvesting.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You had all those, you know, during the midterms, right? Yeah. Trump was out there having these big rallies. And, you know, it does look very popular. He fills out the stadium. And things are not going well still, or at least to the extent that we thought they would. It doesn't matter. It matters who collects the mail better. That is the game. So forget. So look, I'm not going to say don't go have a rally and have a good time and rile people up. That is, I guess, part of it. But fucking Joe Biden and Katie Hobbs won from their basement. Don Fetterman can't even fucking speak, and he won. So does it really matter? I don't know. Go
the left just loves basement dwelling losers.
Reassess.
No, they
how
do.
To win
no.
And they figure do. It the fuck out. Because if you just keep trying, who is it? You know, if you know the person who just keeps trying to do the same thing over and over again. It's like the definition
brain damage
of insanity or whatever. So
but you know what though? It's still early on. Maybe Trump comes out swinging, starts saying, "All right, let's do mail in ballots."
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He should. It's, maybe they should invest all of their money into, you know, mule operations, collection of it, whatever.
And
then really
watch,
throw the Democrats. Watch the Democrats. Then go, we need election reform. We need election reform. We got to get
this
rid of mail-in ballots.
This is unfair. Nope. They're cheating. They're rigging the election.
That's what they would do. Why? Because it's just about power.
Well, what you see is
they
going
don't care
on.
About ceremony and all the, you know, the pomp and circumstance that they all talk about. It's just like the Supreme Court. They'll expand the fucking court if they're losing, right? Because they don't give a shit about the sanctimoniousness of whatever, of the fucking, of the, you know, the thing. They don't care. They just want to win. They want to rule you, and they will change the rules, you know, any way they have to in order to do that.
And if you look at what's happening in the House right now with all these committees, they're not letting Democrats on the investigation committees. Well, you shat the bed when you kicked Jim Jordan off the January 6th committee. You know, they set a precedent, and now they're going to be super upset when the Republicans follow the exact same blueprint.
Right.
You know, taste your own goddamn medicine.
I guess in Congress, it's past the point of civility. You're like,
for
most of them, they're all, you know, still sleazeballs.
So does the Democrats hold the Senate by a majority of 51-49?
Let's see. Senate.
Because I know it was close to being 50-50.
Party division, U.S. Senate. Let's see. Who's in control of the Senate in 2022? As long as Republicans slide favor abundance. It says the Democrat Party retained its majority in the Senate. I love how it's like, you know, I should be able to Google this and it comes out, just pops up immediately.
Yeah.
You always have to, like, for anything like this, you have to, like, really dig. So I guess they still have the majority in the Senate. But if you're not familiar with the way it works, it doesn't you know, the Congress is split into the two sides, the Senate and the mm-hmm. House. Republicans now control the House. The Democrats, I guess, control the Senate. So if a bill is to pass or to go through, it has to pass both sides. Essentially now, I don't see any of that occurring.
Yeah, no.
I think there are ways to override it if you get certain types of majorities or something like that. Sorry, I haven't brushed up on my fucking civics lesson.
Well, but my point was, if it is like 51-49, or, you know, if the left holds it by like one seat, you have the majority, but it doesn't, you know, now your next goal is to make sure all 51 seats vote in unison. And Joe Manchin has proven that that doesn't always happen. And I ain't relying on him. I'm not relying on him. I'm just saying that's a big enough hill in itself to fucking figure out and make sure that happens.
Yeah. Well, who was it? I think it was Matt Walsh on the last episode. He had a great tweet here. He's like, he's like, the Democrats are such losers that they're portraying a win, loss as a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happens.
Just like I said in last episode's tweets of the week, where Joe Biden was like, oh, we didn't lose as many House seats as other Democrats. You still lost the House, dummy.
Yep. Let's move into tweets of the week.
Yeah.
What's that?
And wrap this up afterwards.
Then we'll wrap it up after. I have, this is not a tweet. This is from Facebook, which I saw this morning.
And I got some from Truth Social because I couldn't find the tweet.
This is from the other 98% on Facebook. They are a leftist socialist group that I happen to follow. And they posted a picture and it says Libertarian Theory of Snow Removal Illustrated. And this is actually a picture that has gone viral lately. This is of I believe in Buffalo, you know, out mm-hmm. Western New York here. They had like 6+ feet of snow. So these socialists are saying Libertarian Theory of Snow Removal Illustrated. What are they trying to insinuate? That if people were left to their own devices in the libertarian society, the snow, like who would pave the roads? Who would pick up the snow? You see, the only problem with this meme is that that photo is of the current situation in New York State, not a libertarian society. That is Buffalo, which is in New York State, which is run by Democrats, run by big government. So in this scenario, who is responsible for cleaning up the street and the snow? The government. And they didn't do it effectively. As you can see there, the street is completely buried. But if you actually want an example within this photo of a libertarian society functioning correctly, the only places where the snow is cleaned up is on private property.
Yep.
Why? Because if it's your property, you are invested in getting it done. And if you are the government, you are not. So this was such they posted their own L, you know, by accident, essentially not even realizing it here. These big government socialists, it just pathetic. I wanted to share this.
For the other 98%, what they're truly worried about also is in, you know, this libertarian world that they're talking about. Oh, no, I have to put in the work myself now. They have to take care of themselves. The person whose driveway is full of snow removal was, let's see, prepared and was able-bodied and ready to put in the work to take care of his own property. The other 98%, they want someone else to do it because they're not prepared. They're not able-bodied.
You don't even need to do it yourself. If we lived in a libertarian society, which we do not, this neighborhood would probably have a private service contracted to clean up the snow. And that private service would damn right clean up the snow. Because if they don't, I'll do it accurately or on time, this neighborhood is going to fucking fire them and they're going to hire another private service. Yeah. So you know what the outcome of that would be? The street would be fucking cleaned. But you know what it is right now? It ain't clean because you know why who's responsible for cleaning
Daddy
it up?
Daddy government.
The government. And they don't give a shit because they're unaccountable. They don't care. So just a stupid fucking post by the under 98%. They're just awful. I used to like them back when I was a Bernie bro. Now I see everything through the lens of libertarianism. And I just thought this is funny that they would try and take a shot at them. And just such an L in of itself. Let's move over now to tweets of the week. We'll start off with one of yours, Caps.
Yeah. So I couldn't find his actual tweet. Not 100%. Oh no.
Gone. Sometimes you got to screenshot these. What was
let me see if it pops up on mine.
Whose tweet was this?
Jack Rostovic.
Oh.
And what he had said was essentially what we've been talking about. And I had saved it because it was pretty close to what you've been saying. Okay, here we go. It's just not popping up on the computer. Jack Rostovic. Trump needs to run the largest Republican ballot harvesting operation in history if he wants to win in 2024.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we've been talking about.
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the move. Maybe that's how you get the system fixed. You do it so hard. You lean so hard into what the Democrats are doing that it makes them want to fix the system because they start losing. And then you could get everything back to a constitutional republic that we're supposed to be. You know, that's some really 4D chess there. All right, I have a whole bunch of tweets. It was a long week.
Let's go through some of them.
Let's delete this. This is what we just looked at. So I don't remember all of them because it's been a while. So let's see. What do we have here? This is from Alex DeJurch. And he said, the fact that they are leaving Twitter, not because they are being silenced, but because their political opponents might not be silenced, says everything we need to know about their principles, their willingness to engage in productive discussions, and their dedication to democracy. I think that's pretty spot on.
We had talked about a while ago, long time ago, about eventually moving forward, these leftist grifting shit libs just aren't going to have a place at the table to discuss. We're going to need to move forward. Your ideas are only taking us backwards. You know what I mean? Your ideas bring no change, no positivity. You're not going to be part of the conversation anymore. Yeah. And now they're literally removing themselves
from
the conversation.
Yeah, it's a good point. They definitely are. All right. That is one.
Yeah. I don't really have great ones because, like I said, I've been seeing some pathetic shit. So I finally agree with Brooklyn Dad, but I do have a comment. So Brooklyn Dad Defiant. I still haven't seen one Republican plan for dealing with inflation. Have you? And I agree with this. Let's get cracking on inflation. But the flip side is, if there was a plan, if Ron Paul, if whoever came up with a plan to fight inflation, this mook would be the first person to say it's a bad plan.
Yeah, it's racist. You know? It's the worst. Yeah. It's Nazis. Yeah, it would, you know, and I agree. I'll agree with Brooklyn Dad here. Yeah, I mean, you know, in all realisticness, though, like, you know, nothing has changed yet. I don't think anybody who won the election has taken office yet. I still think that happens in January.
Well, Brooklyn Dad's been going on this rampage about, oh, you're not going to fix inflation, but you're going to investigate Fauci and Hunter and Joe Biden.
Get them all. I'm all for it. You could walk and chew gum at the same
time. Yeah, we could do them both at the same time, baby.
But I agree, you know, I don't think the Republicans are going to address inflation the correct way. That would require abolishing the Federal Reserve, getting rid of fiat currency, putting the dollar back on a spending standard, right? Yeah. Get rid of the money printer. You know, it was Donald Trump who printed the most, you know, the Federal Reserve under Donald Trump printed the most money essentially of all time and had the gigantic fucking COVID spending bill, which Thomas Massie was one of the only people to oppose because he's a fucking libertarian and he believes in actual principles that matter. And no one wanted to listen to him at the time. So I agree. Get better and libertarians will support you, right? I don't want to see Trump become president again. And then he goes, we got to spend fucking trillions of dollars now because we got to fix everything the Democrats ruined. So we have to buy our way out of it or some shit. You know, I could see something like that happening. All right, let's move on. Let's see which Seth Dillon. This was a good one. This is from Seth Dillon. He is the person, I believe, in charge of the Babylon Bee. And he said the Bee will hit 2 million followers soon. We had 1.5 million when Twitter first locked us up. We now have more followers, reach, and revenue than ever before. Not because we acquiesced, but because we stubbornly refused to bend the knee for tyrants. What's he talking about? They got banned months ago on Twitter because they said groomer, I think. I don't remember exactly what they did or they said, but they got banned. And he fucking refused to delete the tweet that was what that needed to be done for the Babylon Bee to come back on Twitter. He fucking refused completely. I'm not doing that. I'm not bending the knee. So happened some point after that, Elon Musk went on the Babylon Bee podcast and spoke with them And I think they vocalized this problem to him all of these months. That was definitely like a convincing moment for Elon Musk to get involved in this and to use his money and his power to perhaps intervene. All these months later, look at what it is now. You could say that they were instrumental in this occurring to Babylon B. And it's because, they just refused to bend the knee, like he's saying. I think there's something to be said about that.
I'm going to pull up something that you said that I'll never forget. Eventually, people will realize that truth is profitable.
Yes.
And here's a perfect example of not bending to this fake, phony bullshit. And, you know, and they're not even speaking the truth. They're really all satire.
It's the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're you know what I mean? Satire. Their page is fucking satire. It's meant to be funny and be humorous.
Yeah. And here it is. You know, they stood up against the bullshit and it's going to be profitable for them. And the more people do this, the more profit it'll be for them.
Yeah, I think it's a good example, right? Of yes, if you embrace freedom and you stand up to tyranny and don't just cave in to the bullshit. Yeah, it can be profitable and it is the right thing to do. I don't know. It hasn't worked for us yet. We got banned. We got banned on TikTok and I fucking refuse to make another TikTok video. So I'd like to see us gain 500,000 followers or whatever. you know, get unbanned on TikTok or something like that. But I agree in principle definitely with what Seth Dillon is saying here. All right. Johnny Cooper. Isn't this one of the people in your circle?
Yeah.
You were talking about.
I shoot a lot back at him.
Good. I don't even know who this
John is. Cooper. Even though the twice impeached loser hasn't tweeted once since he was reinstated, more people have proactively blocked him than any other account in the history of Twitter. Raise your hand if you're one of them.
Yay.
How does he even know that? Does he have statistics on that? Does he have some inside information?
Yes. And B, I mean, this meltdown is so pathetic. Just he's not even saying anything.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
And so now you're going to block him. But guess what? If Trump did tweet, do you think because you blocked him, you weren't going to hear about it? You think it still wouldn't rape your ears and your eyes with whatever information he said?
Another moot point, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing, like I said, the whole thing around Trump was just people making moot points. Like, if he was this, I think someone said, it might be one of my tweets, actually. Let's bring it up. This might be the one. How many Americans will die because Elon Musk brought real Donald Trump back onto Twitter? That's by David Levitt. This whole time, Trump's been on Truth Social. He's still been saying stuff. He's still been having rallies. Like, he's still been functioning. No, he hasn't been on Twitter. There's something to be said about being on Twitter, definitely. But he's still been talking. He's still been saying things. So what are you, like, they're just literally freaking out now because his account's unbanned and not anything has changed. Like, he's still been doing the same shit. They weren't freaking out this whole time because he was on Truth Social. It's just... Again, they are losing control of the machine, or at least a portion of the machine, and they're freaking out. They're lashing out at whatever they could possibly think or say, even probably subconsciously. Like, these people don't even know what the fuck they're saying.
They definitely don't. I mean, I would pay good money to just be a fly on the wall of David's room when he's laying there and he just stands up. Trump's back. Oh, he's going to tweet. That means people are going to like, I want to be there when they realize
their hearts,
when they realize in their own brain that people are going to die if Trump presses the tweet button.
Yeah, I think actually this is pretty ironic because
he also tagged them.
He did. Yeah, he did. And how about all the people that George Bush killed in real life in Iraq? How about all the people that Barack Obama killed? Right. And all the drone wars, 20 drones fucking per day strikes or whatever it was. How about all of the people that Donald Trump killed in the war in Yemen by supporting the Saudis? These leftists, they won't make that point. Right. That like the actual policy decisions, bad policy decisions that I would agree were bad that Trump, took that actually do lead to people dying. They won't make that point. No, mean tweets. They actually kill people. Not fucking Saudi drone strikes on children in Yemen.
It's it's very telling how small-minded people with Trump derangement syndrome are, because like you said, Trump's been talking this entire time on Truth Social, but they're not on Truth Social, so they don't see that. So, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. This is why they must be shocked that Trump announced he was going to run for president again, because he couldn't tweet about
it. Silent,
so if CNN's not talking about it and he's not on Twitter, they're not going to go anywhere else to see it. Just like they don't know what's going on in Yemen. Just like they don't know how many drone strikes Obama did, because they're not looking into it. They don't see it. So it's not happening. It's not real.
Yeah. I mean, you know, going back to the Overton window shifting and these people being excluded from the conversation in the future, I'd like to get back to the point in real life where we could have that discussion instead of people are dying because the president says mean things on Twitter. I'd like to the hot button issue being debated is like our policy in Yemen, our policy over here. And then we could perhaps try and stop having bad policy, because that's what people will be focused on. I don't want people to die. We've said this before, like, generally, we don't like people dying. It's like me in your position. So let's get back to that being what we're focused on, and not mean tweets that don't actually fucking kill anybody. Seth Dillon.
I got one more.
Johnny Cooper. And we got old Tim.
Last one.
Let's see what's going on.
So this is not a new point, but Tim Pool, the funniest thing about the culture war is that the machine believes it's the resistance.
That's well.
And done. I mean, to put it simply, this is what we have been watching unfold. This is what we've all been talking about. This is the irony of everything that has been going on for the past 6-7 years now. The people who are the literal cookie cutter image of the machine think they are the ones changing the future for the better, and that they're the resistance against the bad men.
Yeah, it really is. It's well put by Tim Pool. It is very simple. It's also why it's so effective, why it's worked so well with so many people, why it's this giant psyop I've talked about. Yeah, it's the Matrix 2.0. It's MK Ultra 2.0. They've found a better way to do it. You know, outright being the bad guy, it's a hard sell. You know what I mean? You have to sell yourself as the
Nazis played the long game.
Yeah. You have to sell yourself as the Rebel Alliance, not the Empire sells itself as the Rebel Alliance. They don't sell themselves as the Empire, because people are not going to want to buy into tyranny and the Empire. Right. It was Anakin and Emperor Palpatine over. It was the, you know, we're going to protect everyone. And, you know, we're the good guys. They spun it as though they were the good guys and the Jedi were the evil ones and blah, 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 blah. You know, there's lessons to be learned in everything. That was back when Star Wars was actually, you know, somewhat good. Bad, but better than it is now.
Well, I had thought up of something funny, stoned one night, and it was, you know, we always talk about how, like, we think we're watching a movie, and I really think we're watching a movie. Trump announces in 2015 he's running for president. 2016, he wins the election. Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh, God.
2020 rolls around. Joe Biden wins. The Empire strikes back. Trump reannounces his run for presidency. It's too early to tell, but
the return of the Orange
Man. Return of the Jedi. Yeah, we're watching a fucking movie, people. Yeah,
that has been made into a meme many times for like Bernie Sanders and whatnot. And just I've grown weary of everything being a Marvel Star Wars meme.
Yeah, universes rule everything.
All sides.
Hey, Disney fired their CEO.
Yeah. So maybe we could talk about that to end the show. Let's get to the last tweet of the week here. That'd be interesting. Quick conversation. This is by Steve Deese, who I just found, and I actually find his tweets to be pretty interesting and good. He goes, "We're never disarming, regardless of how many known wolves your corrupt institutions tragically slash cynically allow to gun down innocents, no matter what." Damn fucking right, Steve Deese. There was a shooting in Colorado at a gay club. You know, it's always just so convenient. It's always so targeted at the political discourse of the day. we're not giving up our guns. It's unfortunate. Arm yourselves, gay people. If there's going to be psychopaths gunning you down, arm yourselves. The Second Amendment is just as much yours as it is any other person's.
Yep.
So let's end it here real quick with, we haven't done a doomed review. I didn't see Black Panther. I think I'm pretty much altogether done with the MCU for the most part, unless I'm told something is very good.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything raving about Black Panther. So when it comes on Disney, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not spending a dime to waste my time with them.
Nor spending any time to review it here.
It's work.
But yeah, Bob Chapek got unexpectedly fired, CEO of Disney. What are your thoughts?
Disney must have lost money. Disney must have lost money. Disney did not calculate this child grooming thing accurately, because one thing that they didn't really account for is there's a lot of people our age and our generation who have children now in the 0 to 10 year age, I'd say maybe. And that is who's Disney's
target audience
is. And we are still the parents. The problem with what Disney did, and I learned this in advertising back when I was in college, when you advertise to children, yes, part of the advertisement goes into making the child go, mommy, daddy, get me this, get me this, get me this, get me this. But another part of that advertisement has to go into the parents accepting and liking your message. These children have no money. Correct. It has to be the parents spending the money on said product. You fucked the wrong. We're the wrong generation. Our generation right now, because a lot of our kids are not in high school yet, are seeing parents fight over critical race theory, are seeing other parents fight for their older children not to have these transgendered policies in school. And Disney was full force into that. And all the new parents, all the parents of the young children don't like what they're seeing. They're preparing to get in the fight, and Disney lost fucking money.
Okay. So I think you're correct in some aspects of what, you know, about the backlash. However, I think you're wrong in terms of what happened here in terms of Bob Chapek. I've read a little bit that his idea was, he's a businessman. He did see the woke stuff was not profitable and it was losing. And he was attempting to inject no message into the Disney projects. He just wants to make stories about Jedi and stories about superheroes and things like that. And they fired him because they're actually doubling down on the woke stuff. And they brought Bob Iger back. Bob Iger launched the woke shit at Disney. He's the one who put Kathleen Kennedy in charge of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. He's the one who set them on the course of the woke stuff.
So Disney is going to get even worse.
Yes, that is what people are saying. I listened to the Critical Drinker talk about this. He's saying Bob Iger was struggling to try and like turn the ship. It's a fucking big ship.
Yeah.
And it's hard to turn, even if you're the captain, right? And he was having a hard time turning it. You know, they were fighting back against him. And they now just said, you're gone. And they're now just doubling down, and they're going to inject. Bob Iger's going to come in here and just put the ship right back on the course, even more woke shit. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know, but I'm hearing that's what occurred here.
Well, no, you know,
they're not changing course. They're full steam ahead. So
for
see.
Somebody who doesn't have kids, fine by me. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. In our lifetime, we are going to see the death of Disney.
I think so. Yeah, the golden age is over, and I think even for me, like I'm demoralized with the MCU after She-Hulk. Like, I'm not interested.
I didn't even really get that much into Andor, even though you like
it. It was good.
Andor was good. I've been watching it, but I've been begrudgingly watching it. I watch maybe one episode every other week. Like, just anything Disney puts out in this moment could give.
I think Andor
two shits about.
You know, the Star Wars show Andor, it might be one of the examples of Bob Chapek. Just make a good story.
Yeah.
With no political messaging in it outside of the universe that it exists in. That's what Andor was about. It was about the beginning of the
Rebel
Alliance.
Yeah.
That's all it was about. It was nothing else really, really in it. I think that is one of the last probably vestiges of Bob Iger trying to do that. Yeah. And it was pretty good. And I only watched it because other people told me that it was actually different and good and kind of getting back on the track. So watch that. I don't know. Well, you know, you might enjoy a Star Wars thing. Get past the first three episodes, and then it gets really interesting and good after that.
There we go.
Yeah. Right. Let's sign us off. We got some interesting stuff coming up. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I believe tomorrow will be Thanksgiving when this comes out. We got Christmas special with the OG crew. Should be coming up soon. That will be fun.
That'll be exciting.
Patriot Cigar Company. I did make it through now, I think. There might be one left. I made it through all four of the... No, I think there's still one left. I think you smoked one of the thing. So they were all pretty good, I have to say. You know, we haven't done a Doom review, but I will give Alan a shout-out. He has created a tasty cigar. Definitely.
Yeah. Legion-approved cigar. Doomed Men. Two Doomed Men-approved cigar. And yes, well, hopefully next week I have internet in my new place and I won't miss any episodes or anything like that. And happy Thanksgiving, Doom Nation. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Adios.